Right, this is our final talk on God Will Provide. This is God Will Provide 4. And today I'm talking about money. Not always a very popular subject, but the reason I'm talking about money is to get more money to you. Okay, that's the reason. That's the only reason God wants to talk about money, is to get more money to us. So a quick recap, because even if you're over in Australia, you can still go onto our website, Barbara, and you still hear me speaking with a good Scottish accent out there in Adelaide, okay? So the first week we talked about God providing for Abraham, when Abraham had to climb a mountain of self-sacrifice. The second week we said God provided at Passover for 3 million people, and out of 3 million people there was not one feeble because they had fed on the lamb. Last week we said God provided at communion, and that we were not to focus on our lack, but to focus on God's provision at the cross. Because when we take the bread and the wine, we're remembering what God's provided. This week we're saying God provides through tithing. He pours blessings into our life when we tithe. So tithing is really, it's all about a lesson in trust. How much can we trust God for? And he blesses us for it. So I hope you'll be patient with me today as I go through just a few different points that I've got on giving to God. I'm going to start in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What a promise of provision. It's God's will to pour blessings into our lap. You know, to give us back anything we can trust him with. We spent the first 3 weeks saying that God will provide, and one way that he does provide is through tithing and giving to him. Now, there are generally two schools of thought, and it's a decision between you and God, okay? The first school of thought is you decide on an amount and you give that to God. The second school of thought is that you tithe 10% each month of your income, okay? It's very much an individual matter. I've got friends that do both, but we need to make an educated decision. So today, that's what we're talking about. We're teaching on tithing so that you can make your own mind up about it. I want you to note that we can still walk the same road even if we differ on our opinion of tithing. It doesn't mean that we will not still love each other, okay? Tithing is between you and God. No one else will ever know, because we don't know what your income is. It's very much a private thing. Only God knows. I'm not teaching on tithing because as a church we need your money. I'm teaching because this is a very generous church, and it's a healthy church, and that's all thanks to your generosity. But I'm teaching on tithing because I want you to be more blessed. I want you to receive more of God's provision than you do already. The more we give to God, the more he gives back to us, multiplied over and over. So there's a few little sort of short, sharp points today with a scripture to go with them. The first one's probably the longest point, but anyway. This is the history of tithing, okay? In the Old Testament, Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you so great a blessing until there's no more room to receive it. It's not a trickle that's coming our way if we can trust God with this. It's an avalanche, okay? So first of all, it says it's one-tenth of your income. So the tithe means 10%. Second, it says bring it into the storehouse to provide for my house, says, that's God speaking. So it's God's house. The storehouse is the church. We're meant to bring 10% into our local church, the place where we're fed and cared for, the place that's our church family. The third thing, which is the most amazing thing about the scripture, it says, test me now. God says, I want you to test me in it. You know, this is the only scripture in the whole of the Bible where God says, you can put me to the test on this, because I so want to prove to you how much I will provide for you. Nowhere else in the Bible does God ask us to test him. He's so sure of his provision for us. And the fourth thing out of the scripture says, he'll open the windows of heaven and there won't be room for all that he wants to give us. So I challenge you, if you've never thought about this, I dare you to tithe, because I know God won't let you down. Now, I realise today that I'm actually preaching to the converted, you know, but there may be someone listening to this online that thinks, I've never heard that before. And it goes so well with provision. I couldn't come away from speaking on provision without talking on this. So let's switch now to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This says, give what you've decided. And some people think this means you select your own amount, and there's no need to give 10%, and I can absolutely see how they come to that conclusion. It also says, don't feel under compulsion, and that's true. No one should ever feel forced to give. I 100% agree with that. In fact, years ago, there was an old lady in the church in Edinburgh, and she gave me an offering. She couldn't come. She was too ill to come to church. I went to visit her, and she gave me an offering to put into the offering bowl. And I think it was about £300. It was quite a lot of money for an elderly person. So I assured her I would put it in the offering bowl, and I did that. And then within a few weeks, she became quite sort of confused, and she ended up in an old folks' home, and her daughter contacted me. Her daughter was not a Christian, and her daughter was very upset about this amount of money that she'd given me to put in the church. And I said, look, this is not a problem. I will give you the money back. So I just went to the church and gave her the money back, because the last thing God wanted was for that woman to think that God had taken her mum's money. The money was not important. The old lady, with all her heart, wanted to give to God, and God knew that. God is more interested in the heart than the money. So I just went and got that money back, and I gave it to her, because that was more important to me, and I felt it was more important to God. More important that this daughter knew that God loved her and her mum than it was to keep the money. So it's not about keeping the money. It's about trusting God and understanding that He just wants to bless us. And so it is a decision, and we're not supposed to feel forced to do it. Tithing's also mentioned in the New Testament, Matthew 23 and verse 23, and it's Jesus speaking. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. So what Jesus is saying here today, he's talking to the Pharisees, which we all know they were a wee bit of a nippy sweetie, okay? And he's saying to the Pharisees, you tithe as the law requires, but your heart's not right. You neglect to show justice, mercy, and faith. So you think you're the bee's knees, you know, as far as God's concerned. You're doing all this legal stuff, but your heart's cold, and you're not loving people. So Jesus is saying, it's not just about money, guys. Having the right heart is more important. But Jesus adds at the end of that, but don't neglect tithing. He said, don't neglect it. You should have done both of these things. So he is saying it's right to tithe, and it's important to do so. So we'll flick back to Malachi 3, and we'll go to before verse 10, verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 8, and it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. So you better hang on to your seats here, because you might just fall off of them, okay? This says that we can rob God by not bringing tithes and offerings into the church. So I think tithes and offerings are two different things. I think what God is saying here today is bring your tithe of the 10% that was stated in Malachi 3:10 and offerings decided in your own heart stated in 2 Corinthians 9:7. I don't think it's either or. I think it is both. I believe we're meant to bring both of these things to God and offer them to Him. Now, obviously, if you're given a 10% tithe, that can be a lot of money for some people, not even quantity-wise. It's a lot of money if you're on a salary of 30,000, but it's a lot of money if you've only got a pension of 10,000. It's still a lot of money. So giving over and above that, you might not be able to afford much. It might be baking a cake for someone, you know, and giving that way. And you've used money to buy the ingredients to bake the cake. But it's about God knowing that we're wanting to give to Him. So if we withhold the tithe and we withhold the giving, God is saying we are robbing Him. He's robbed in that sense. He is almost tying God's hands, because this church is very generous, and we put out an appeal for the last crisis, which was the Ukraine. and the church gave, and then we took money out of the church's bank account, and we gave several thousand pounds to headquarters. So when you give to us, we channel that money into different things. That money was then given to headquarters. Headquarters had people on the ground in Poland and in the Ukraine, and the money went to the coal face. And I was able to read out an email where people from the, you know, the, is it Medicine Without Frontiers, the French organisation, and they were able to go in and set up hospitals. Just instant, put a tent up, there's a hospital, doctors and nurses there to help the people that were injured. So God wants to do that. He wants to help these people. And one way he does it is through our tithes and offerings into the local church and then channeled into other countries, wherever the need is, and our own country as well. So my second point is the attitude of tithing. And I'm just going to look at a very small bit from that scripture we read, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Give not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I think we should tithe because, but we need to be happy about it. We shouldn't give if we're grumbling and complaining. We need to do it for the right reason, not because we feel obligated to. We need to do it out of love. And God says, and in the Bible, in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So we don't feel to give to that cause, then we don't need to feel condemned about it. But tithing is more than just doing our duty so we don't feel condemned. We don't tithe to gain brownie points with God. That's the wrong reason to do it. John 3:16 doesn't say, for God so loved the tithers, he gave his only begotten son. It says, God so loved the world. Every single one of us, people that are not Christians yet, people that don't even know, God can use their money to alleviate pain in other countries. Romans 5:8 says, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we'd even heard of tithing, Jesus died on the cross for me before I even knew that God could bless me through my giving to him. His love is unconditional and it's not based on our money. And I want us to get that if we get nothing else. If we can't, if we feel we can't afford to give, God's not going to love us any the less. We're not cursed if we don't tithe. Tithing is meant to be a blessing and not a curse. So you take all the time you need to think about what you want to tithe or give to God and ask God about it. Don't give out of condemnation. Give out of revelation. So here's my revelation today, if you're ready for it. It's this. We don't have to tithe. We get to tithe. It's a way of God getting blessings to us, and blessings will flow through it. My third point is the heart of tithing. Tithing's not a matter of the law, fulfilling a legal requirement, but it's a matter of the heart. How do I feel in my heart about giving to this, giving money to this? Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, you can have someone's money, but not their heart. If I go to work every day and the boss pays me money for doing that, I've got his money, but I don't necessarily have his heart. You know, he might be a right mean boss who just wants me to work twice as hard to get that money. But I'd like to say you cannot have someone's heart without having their money. You know, when I first realized I had feelings for Neil, I'm flying from Australia back to the UK, and he's in Australia, and we stopped in Thailand, and there was all these markets with amazing men's shirts that were meant to be by Benetton, and they cost £2.50, you know. I wanted to buy him all these shirts and post them back to Australia. I wanted to give out of my heart because I love him. You know, even if we go shopping, and he doesn't spend money that often, but he might see a really nice winter jacket. It might even be over £100 for a really good padded winter jacket. I'm going, well, if you need it and you like it, just buy it. And he's the same with me. Well, if you like it, just buy it. And I don't want to spend it on myself, but he'll say, just buy it. If you love someone, that they've got your heart. You know, I mean, if it's your children and they come with their Christmas list, you know, unless they're asking for a sawn-off shotgun or something, you really do want to buy them everything on that Christmas list. And I think if it's grandchildren, it's even worse. You know, you've got to tie Eleanor to the chair at Christmas time. Stop her going to shops to buy those boys presents. Because you just want to buy them things because you love them. And so if you have their heart, you have their money anyway. I remember years ago, you know, when a boy asked you to the cinema. You know, do you fancy going to the cinema at the weekend, you know? If they said, I'll meet you inside, it meant you were paying for yourself. If they said, I'll meet you outside, then generally speaking, they were going to pay for you. and go through the doors with you. And I remember one guy meeting me outside. I remember another one saying, I'll just meet you inside. I thought, oh, fair enough, cheapskate, you know. When you love someone, you just want to give. So here's another thing. Tithing isn't a legal requirement. It's a principle of God's kingdom. And it works. It works. The fourth point is the responsibility of tithing. You know, if Bob tithes and Mary doesn't, God does not love Bob more than he loves Mary. He loves the whole world equally the same. But Mary might not be ready for some of the things God wants to give her. You know, because she's not ready to trust God with her income and her finances. Learning to tithe is about learning to trust. It's having faith in the fact, if I give God this £10, he's still going to pay my electric bill or put petrol in my car, whatever else we need a mortgage for these days, you know. God can't give us a rifle if we haven't learned to use a pistol. He can't give us big provision if we haven't been able to trust him for some small things. We'll only receive part of his blessing if we never learn to trust for the rest. Luke 6:38 says, with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So if I trust God a little bit, he can only trust me a little bit. But if I trust him a big bit, then he can trust me a big bit. God isn't withholding blessing, but we may not be sowing anything if we're not tithing. The fifth point is the power of tithing. Tithing is spiritual warfare. It is a powerful tool against the enemy. The enemy might say you're broke, then tithe. He might say you can't trust God, then tithe. It breaks that poverty mentality. It plants faith in the middle of your circumstances and says, I have decided to trust God in this. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. In case you don't know it, God is stinking rich. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, but you can only move through human beings. He's not going to walk down that corridor, open the door, and come in the room. He's saying, Sandra, you give to that cause. He moves through human beings. You tell that person I love them. That's the only way. That's how he decided to do it. He moves through us. My God is rich enough to supply all our needs, and he's willing and able to provide. I want us to note this. God does not need our money as much as he needs our trust in him. My sixth point today is the tax man and tithing. This one might give you something to think about as well. Romans 13 verse 7 says, render to all men their dues. Pay taxes to whom taxes are due, and revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. So some people tithe before tax, and some people tithe after tax. And again, that is very much your own decision. I'm just telling you how Neil and I feel about it. Now, the tax man doesn't give us any choice. He just comes and he takes his cut first. And we have to pay him up front. There's no choice in the matter. But if tithing honors God, then we should give him first place and not last place. Tithing says, I give you the first share of my income because you're worthy of that honor, Lord. And for me, this answers the question, should I tithe before or after tax? Neil and I tithe before tax because then God is honored first and not the tax man. And I realize that's a biggie if people are on a limited income, but it's your decision. I'm just telling you what we feel we've discovered when we've been digging in the Word of God. God gives us the money in the first place, and it's all his money. We give him back 10%, but the way I look on it is I get to keep 90%. Don't even look at the top of the line because you might weep, you know. I just think, I get to keep 90%. Let's just get rid of the rest. And so it helps if you don't look at it. But it's an individual decision. You choose what you are ready for between you and God. Matthew 22, verse 21 says this, pay therefore to Caesar the things that are due to Caesar, and pay to God the things that are due to God. If the government is due tax, pay it. If God is due a tithe, then pay it. But it's your decision. Just two more points. Number seven, the evidence of tithing. And when I was preparing this, I felt God say, Sandra, if you can be more generous with others, I can be more generous with you. You really can't outgive God. Several years ago, I had this necklace, just a little silver necklace, not worth tons of money. But someone gave it to me as a present for my 18th birthday, Okay? So it was just sitting in my jewellery box. I wore it occasionally. But I had a friend who was going through a really difficult time, and I just felt telling me to give her this necklace from God so that she knew that God loved her. So I did that. Now, I'm not telling you that to earn any brownie points, because the next story will negate that. I gave her the necklace. I didn't struggle with it. I just felt that's the right thing to do. Then, a while later, God told me to give away this most gorgeous blue satin skirt that went all the way to the ground. I realised the guys won't get this, but it was a beautiful skirt and I had never worn it. And this lady needed an outfit to go to a special occasion. And I felt God telling me to give her that skirt. I never gave her that skirt. I couldn't part with it. To this day, that skirt is still in my wardrobe, and to this day, I have never worn it. I have never had an occasion to wear it. I do not know what blessing I missed out on, but I know I missed out on something. Now, several years later, without thinking about it, I received a ring. I received a ring that was worth an awful lot more than the necklace that I gave away. So God was trying to get blessings to me. Sometimes I manage to give, and sometimes I don't. Okay, I'm just the same as anybody else. Sometimes I think that's a good cause, and sometimes I struggle with it. God's not trying to take things from us. He's only trying to get things to us. You know, we've got old cars, we drive older cars, but I always say the best thing about our cars is they're paid for, you know. But a few years ago, Neil's car was getting older, and the mechanic said to him, "Do you know, I've got the exact same model of car as you've got. It's 3 years younger. It's got half the mileage. Give me your old car and £1,000 and it's yours." So we've got this massive big 2-litre estate car for £1,000 with half the mileage of our old car, 3 years younger, and we're still driving it yet. Okay, so God wants to get blessings to you. And I'm suggesting that because we tithe, you know, God gave us that. When we went to buy our house, we knew we could only afford it on one salary. We only could only count on one salary at that time. So we didn't want a huge mortgage. And we went to look at the house, and they told us what they were looking for, and we got it valued, and we offered less than the valuation, and we got the house. And so God is always trying to get blessings to us. So if you give consistently, or you tithe consistently, the blessings are still out there waiting to be poured into your lap. So my final point today is how to start tithing. Okay, so this is... I read this in a book about this couple, young couple, got married, and they were thinking, right, we'd like to tithe, but we really can't afford to give 10% of our income. So they spoke to their pastor about it, and the pastor said, look, I will be your guarantor, if you like. So if you start giving 10% of your income now, and God does not supply your need every month, I will pay that bill. I'll supply it. So the young couple decided, because he was their fallback, you know, that they would do that. And after 6 months, they went to the pastor and said, well, they never needed to ask him for anything because God supplied all their needs. Now, I'm not making that same offer today, okay? But he made that offer just to be there for them. At first, they had more faith in the pastor being in the background, waiting to supply their needs, but they soon learned that they could have faith in God and that he was always there with them and would always meet their needs. So my other suggestion is, if you're struggling to give 10%, why don't you start off with 1%? So say this month we're going to give 1%. Then next month we're going to give 2%. So you can do the maths, and by 10 months you'll be on 10%. And trust God and test God in this, and see if your giving and your tithing are blessed by God. I remember hearing a talk on tithing once, and this lady was very upset after it because she said, I want to tithe, but my husband just won't. And I said, well, what money do you have that's your own? How much do you take out? Back then you took money out to go to the supermarket, you know, you don't now. But how much money do you spend each week at the supermarket? So let's say she spent £100 at the supermarket each week, because it can be about £100 these days. And I said, well, why don't you just tithe on that amount? Just tithe on what you'd normally spend at the supermarket, put your money in, and go to the supermarket believing that God will meet your needs. And I know there's times when I go around the supermarket and I just say, Lord, just show me what's on special this week, you know? And you come out with this trolley that's laid in, and it was £20 less than last week's shopping. God can bless you even going around the supermarket. He's not asking you to create World War III in your marriage. You know, he's just saying, what is it you're able to give me? Listen to this quote. When we give, we should not see it as losing money, That's not how a farmer regards sowing seeds. He sees it as an investment for a harvest time. He is not just going to get his seed back, he's going to get that plus many times over. So we are investing into God's kingdom. Tithing is an investment. It's money in the bank of heaven that we can draw on in any crisis that we face. If we can't trust God with money, how will we trust him with more important things in our lives? How will he trust us with other riches and other responsibilities that he wants to give us? We ask God to give to us, but we struggle to give to him. Don't think about giving the 10%. Think about God giving us 90%. You cannot outgive God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. And provision starts with trusting him with our tithes and offerings. Folks, we can't afford not to tithe because it affects how much blessing is coming our way. Just going to finish with the scripture I started with, Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's the blessing God wants to pour into our lives. Are we ready for it? So that's the worship team to come up.